Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and this is part two with our good friends, Tawanda and Tito. Last time, if you haven't gone back, is go back and listen to how they came together as adults. So they've been married going on a year now, and they've just been blessed as God brought these two people together to live life together and now to walk with him because of their heart for God, which is really kind of cool. And we want to hear more about that. So Tawanda is working for K-Force and is in organizational development. And Tito is working for security at the University of Tampa. So they're both there in the Tampa area and enjoying that. But their life has always been geared toward giving it away.
Mm-hmm.
And that's their hearts. I think that's one of the reasons why God brought you together, because you both had that same heart, your same desire, and it's been cool. So talk a little bit about, first of all, just your experience with abiding yourself. What does that look like? And then we can talk about your prophetic ministry that you have together.
So I think for me, when introduced to the concept of abiding, it just made sense from the aspect of listening and communing with the Lord, walking, asking, seeking, knocking, all of those things. But it brought it together in, I think, a more formalized way for me, so that it was more intention, not a system, right? But just an intentional way for you to kind of, you know, hold hands with the Father and walk alongside of him. And for me, with, I feel the, you know, the prophetic call on my life, it's always talking to the Lord, staying in the flow of what he's saying. And so the journey of abiding has just been one to, that has transformed, I would say, my life in ridding me of the, maybe some of the religious elements of making it a formalized practice, but really that relational part of walking with the Lord and surrendering, staying open, walking in unity with him and now my husband. But I think that's the tremendous aspect for me of how I've learned to abide, how I've learned to stay in the flow of his presence. And just to me, it's gone from that concept of having a prayer time to a prayer life. Yes, abiding life.
That's so good.
And you know what's funny is the Lord is bringing an awakening to this, because I'm starting to hear it throughout the body of Christ, abiding here. We need more abiders. I was listening to a prophetic talk the other day, and he specifically said, God is raising up abiders in this hour.
I love it.
We do. Yeah. So that's.
What role do you have for journaling? What value has that been to you?
Oh my gosh, you want journal number 1, 2, 3, or 4, Rich?
It's just a professional journal.
Yeah, there.
So, you know, journaling is key, right? It is listening and processing with the Lord. And it's that concept of really mind rhyming, where you are connecting with the Spirit of God and Holy Spirit is teaching you and you're processing it with him. And you know, and then it just evolves into this ongoing thing. I don't want to go anywhere without my journal, really, because God is always speaking. I want to capture every moment of it, because I know in my mind, I'm going to forget. But the great thing is, the aspects of journaling is you can go back and capture those essences of what God is saying, processing things with him. And what you'll notice is over time, how your relationship has evolved with him. Even the things that I used to journal about, and I go back and I'm like, wow, how God gave me revelation on this, or he answered this prayer, or he showed me this and revealed that really wasn't my desire. He shifted, you know, my focus in those areas. So journaling is critical, I think, not in the life of a believer, right? If you want a relationship with the Father, it's essential. Yeah.
Yeah. Tito, do you have anything to add to that?
Actually,
go ahead, Kathy.
Before we go on with that, can I just highlight, because this is something a little different, I think. Like, I, for one, typically keep just like one journal, really, that everything goes into. And something, Tawanda, we were on a call the other day, on a prayer call, some things that a group of ladies are really seeking God's wisdom on. And Tawanda was the first one to say, ladies, everybody get a dedicated prayer journal for this one. And I think that's such a neat tool when there's something significant that you know is going to be, months of prayer, actually, that we're seeking him on some different things. That idea of having a dedicated journal to that, that was something that Tawanda brought up. And I was like, that's a phenomenal idea, just to help keep things, the thoughts organized, even of what God is speaking specifically to certain things when you have more of a long-term something you're seeking him with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And when we think about it, the scripture says we're the living epistles read and known of men, right? And so this is a continuation of what God is saying. And I think of it from a legacy perspective. Mm-hmm. I hope that my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren are able to pick up grandma's journal and see about the goodness of God. So they hear it in
yes.
the word of God. They will read it in our journals. And so it will take them on in the Lord and encourage them. So, yeah.
I love that. I tell my kids all the time, the most valuable thing in our house when we die is these shelves of journals I have downstairs, because they are filled with God gold, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Tito, anything you'd like to add in terms of what it's meant to you, or how it works for you?
Well, the retreat, the past retreat before we were married with Dave in New Hampshire, opened up definitely greater understanding on the abiding. I mean, you always hear abide, and that scripture is quoted over and over and over. But this particular time, they took the time to kind of dissect that and bringing it home to the practical aspect. So it was wonderful for me, the experience here. But it also removed another layer of religion and the weight that brings, which leads you nowhere anyway. And you need to find yourself in it. I'm the casual guy. I said she's a professional journaler because I'm not. So, and I do have some journaling, but not to the extent that she has. I probably we'll go to heaven and meet the Lord, and I still would not be able to catch up with her. Nevertheless, I've been communing with the Lord in that sense. And I realized that I listen to the Lord more than what I thought. Because I am, even working and everything, I'm continually processing these thought patterns that come into my mind. And I realize that the Lord is talking to me. And I am listening, and listening more than what I speak. Which is a good thing, because that's where we're going to be able to be edified. And we're going to be able then to find instruction and be able to please him in whatever he wants us to do. So that's what I've been going to. I do want to write more. Sometimes I do it on audio because it's easier for me. And I'm different anyway. And I'm more like, she's got paper and structure here and everything. I'm not the structure guy. I'm the,
yeah, that's okay.
thinking guy and all that stuff. So, and I finally came to the place that I say, I'm that. And I just got to learn how to flow like that with the Lord for who he created me to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm finally, comfortable with that. But the principles that I've been learning about abiding have brought me to a place where I'm seeking more, a more profound understanding of the love of God for me in my life, which brings me to a place of really identity and recognizing my identity in him, so that I can then flow for what he created me to be.
Yeah. As a couple, since you've been married, give us an example of how you process through seeking God's will about something that our audience could listen to. And then we want to get into some of the prophetic, which is obviously part of that anyway. But as you've had to process things together, how did you do that as a couple and seek God's will and then know it was God's will?
We're actually in the process of something right now. We are in the process of really asking God about a decision about a vehicle, right? And so, we've had to really come to the Lord, ask, asking, seeking, knocking for his perspective, staying in a place of neutrality about, we had a desire But the Lord is showing us to surrender that desire. And in it, we weren't really even seeking his best, right? Because we know what? His will is best and none better. So we weren't seeking best and none better. And we had to actually take a step back for him to course correct our thoughts about it. And so, you know, we're asking the Lord, what vehicle should we purchase? When is the right time? All of those things, because I mean, we're a newlywed, we're not new to life, right? So we want to make sure we're making decisions in unity. And so combining the financial commitments, all of those things. So we're bringing all of that before the Lord. And so we're kind of at a place where we feel like God has given us kind of a plan for that, but it came through us coming together, us praying. And there was a place though where we weren't necessarily aligned about it. Mm-hmm. So we paused and I waited. There was an area where I felt like, you know, Tito really deserved more. I wanted the best for my husband. Mm-hmm. And I felt like he was settling. So I was praying, I'm like, Lord, show me. But, you know, just stayed in that place of neutrality. And so God did that, right? And he began to show him. And it was just a conversation with him just saying, you know what? I think I need to be open to God doing something different. And so we were able to come back together, pray, really go back to the Lord, bring it to our community, and just walking that out. So that's one example. There have been some other examples with our children now having a blended, you know, family. Mm-hmm. All of our children are adults, but there are some things that we've, you know, are walking through the Lord and talking to him about concerning our children. So for us, really, I mean, being newlyweds, only knowing each other 6 months before we got married, we've had to abide in the Lord really about everything. Honestly, I mean, everything, asking, seeking, knocking, being open and just yielding to his will.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about, because this is going to be helpful, I think. You made a statement that you weren't aligned and you paused and took some time to get back to alignment. You know, first of all, as you guys understand, that's not a bad place to be. Mm-hmm. It just is. And, you know, when you're not aligned, it's not to go just make any decision. It's really what you did. Talk about how you did that and what that felt like and how that was still okay to say, well, we're not really in alignment. We got to do some more time together. Describe that, how that worked for you.
Well, there's a funny thing that happened. And we know that God is full of fun. Right. He's dealing with us. And we had a planned a vacation, mini vacation, to go to St. Augustine. And unbeknownst to me, she said, oh, by the way, I reserved a Tacoma, which is the truck that we were decided that, you know, okay, this is Tacoma, and let's pursue that. And so that way we can take it over there and test drive it, and we have it for a few days, and, you know, it's going to be good in order to make a decision. I said, wow, you know, girl, thank you, Lord. So, because we had to delay the trip one day because her mom ended up getting sick. When we went to get the vehicle, they said, well, we're sorry, but we don't have a Tacoma now available, but we have a Chevy Silverado. And if you don't mind, I said, well, let's take it. It's a pickup truck. Let's take it. So we took that Chevy Silverado. It's full, all the bells and whistles. So we take this stuff, and I knew what was going to happen as soon as I got into that vehicle. A year or two before, I went to New York, and they didn't have a vehicle for me when my mother was alive. And Chevy Silverado, which I didn't like because I had to go to the city for parking. But once I tried that vehicle and I was on the road, it's like, you know, I feel like a king on this thing, on this vehicle. But nevertheless, here it is, this vehicle again, and I'm enjoying the ride. What's not to enjoy is a 2025 Silverado. And I said, you know, I'm going to let you drive, but I warn you, you're going to like this vehicle. So we understood that, and I told her, I believe that the Lord is wanting us to expand our view about this and not just be locked down into anything. So at least we have a better understanding. And that's one thing that he did. On the practical aspect, to bring us to that place, myself.
That's cool.
And that was a component of me praying and just submitting and just resting in the Lord to reveal it to him, not wanting my way, but open-handed, staying in neutrality, right? Father, what is your will? And for the Lord to then, you know, just arrange for us to have a different vehicle than what we planned, that was another step in him leading us and guiding us mm-hmm. in the process. And through that, he revealed to us, again, our expectations were lower than possibly what his desire is for us. And, and he tells us he will give us the desires of our hearts, but that is aligning our desires with his. And yes. in that instance, he was showing us our expectations were too low.
Yeah.
Like he wanted to do something different, something more. And so it opened our heart to be willing to explore that and really receiving it as a son and a daughter because he's a loving father.
That's so good.
That for us. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. We'll be praying for that. Both of you are, you know, very gifted and as we all are, really have the ability to be prophetic. Talk to us a little bit about your experiences with that. Describe it and help us understand. A lot of people are afraid of it, but it's a normal part of being a follower of Christ. So let's help us understand how that works for you guys.
Sure. You know, so Joel talks about, you know, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. My sons and my daughters will prophesy. So we know prophecy is foretelling and forthtelling. And so we have the ability to connect with the living God and the Holy Spirit that then gives us insight to what God is saying. But we have to be willing to hear, process, and be willing to speak what he says in the timing that he says it. And so for me, it's something that has been a core part of my life. I didn't necessarily have an awakening, an understanding of what that was, but always had this sense of God speaking and hearing the voice of God. And God speaks to us in a variety of ways, right? He can speak mm-hmm. to us through, you know, the word, impressions, hearing, sensing, all of those things. But are we willing and open to what he has to say? And so in my life, I just grown in understanding of that and grown in my experiences as I've yielded, abiding with him, yielded and allowed the Lord to speak and then be willing to kind of share. With that, though, there is this, you know, benefit of bringing those words into community because the scripture also says that we know partly and then we have a part of it. But when we bring that to community, God gives us a whole picture. So we prophesy in part and we bring it to community and we get a whole picture. And so, you know, the blessing for me is I've been a part of, a prophetic school to kind of help build that and build a prophetic community that really allows and teaches individuals to connect with the Father, hear his voice, and then be able to share as he leads, right, what he's saying. Because he tells us, right, that my sheep know my voice. I know them and they follow me. So we hear his voice. He knows us and then follow the instructions of what he tells us to do. And so that's what the prophetic does. We know the prophetic, it edifies, exhorts, and brings comfort. Think about the great gift that you get to bring to people when you offer the prophetic and bring that into a situation. Mm-hmm. And so that's the essence of it for me. The prophetic also can shift and give a correction. It can also give the ability to spring an individual into action mm-hmm. where there wasn't clarity. The prophetic clarifies and gives guidance and all of that. And as well as other giftings that he, allows us to operate in. But that's how I've seen it used in my life. In the local church, we are establishing and really developing prophetic communities that could also go into the various areas of society, those mountains of influence, as we talk about, that there could be prophetic voices in our government, in our education system, in our businesses, in arts and entertainment, and family structures and all of those. So for me, that's, you know, what we feel the call of God on our life is to equip individuals to hear from the Lord, process it, and then have the courage to walk out what he says.
Yeah. And Tito, you want to, anything you'd like to, you know, kind of enhance that discussion with in terms of what you see and how it works?
Yeah, well, it is exciting for me what I'm seeing here because from the prior ministries that I came from, obviously the prophetic was encouraged and they even, you know, explained that, you know, you don't have to wait for a prophet in the office to come and prophesy. Everybody can. However, it was never developed as a community and like, like, for example, the last church that I was, you know, it's an apostle, and he will bring from time to time people that were operating in the office of the prophet. And obviously then people are looking forward for that, but there was no follow-up to say, you know, these are the things that we got to do in order to, for us all together, to not just prophesy, but to have a lifestyle in the prophetic, which is what God wants for us. So when I came and I desired that, and when I came to the church, and then more than anything in contact with Tawanda, it was like a switch was turned on. And then I would find myself, you know, releasing words, you know, at times where she said, you know, well, thank you for that word. So it is exciting. I will be going into their school of the supernatural, I guess, which is guided more into the prophetic anyway. And, you know, looking to be a leader there too, just to, because I gotta brush off into some things. And I was like, just to be clear, I did a lot of stuff during those 28 years, from preaching, from teaching, from funerals, weddings, everything that a pastor will do. So I was like saying, you know, when I came here, I had enough already. I need a vacation or something, because that's it. So, but of course, you know, God had other plans. And I was just remembering today the two apostles that I was under. Whenever I was with one and then with the other, they both told me the same thing before I left. So, you know, it doesn't matter where you're going, you're always going to be a leader. Mm-hmm. You're going to run from that. So that's where I'm at right now.
Yeah. And talk, before we finish a little bit, you mentioned about the importance of community. What would you say to people that are starting to learn this, and it's, you know, it's what you're hearing and then speaking it publicly? And remember, it is encouragement, exhortation, and comfort. So there's a quality to it. It's never condemnation and judgment. It's instruction and imitation. What would you say is, how would a group that's beginning to maybe experience this develop that in a community?
I think, you know, the fundamental thing is to practice abiding. Practice hearing from the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, because in Corinthians 12, where it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and Paul talks about it in following up in 14, I wish that you all would prophesy. But when you go further, they give the instructions about when should the prophetic exist. Well, it should exist in community, not independent, but in community.
So right. Interesting.
The Lord can be judged or validated by the word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the benefits of community is you are allowed to, everyone is hearing, right? And then everyone is sharing. And then we get to give one another kind of their perspective of what God is saying. And really that whole concept of judging the word is really filtering the prophetic word based on the word, which is the word of truth and the word of God. So it's really, you know, I would say a starting point is a community coming together, bringing, if you're journaling, right, if you're abiding, bringing that together into this community, talking it through, having elements of worship, having elements of time where you're intentionally listening to the Father, listening and allow Holy Spirit, and then ask questions. I think that is one of the, you know, I think part of the biggest misnomers in the body of Christ, that we don't get to ask questions. Well, as you are abiding, there is this, you know, question and response. You got to talk to the Father and allow him space to respond to you. So not just coming in with our prayer list, which is great, but coming in, though, with the ability to listen. So developing kind of those key components as a community. And I think that's a great starting point, because, you know, scripture says two are better than one in a marital couple, but also in a community. And we get the benefit of that koinonia, that fellowship and strengthening of believers and those coming together.
Yeah. And as we go ahead, Tito, you want to add something there?
Yeah, well, yeah, and also talking about the benefits of being in the community, especially in small groups, and that's where you should be encouraged.
Yeah.
Before you bring it any place else, to do it there, because you could, for lack of a better word, experiment there. And then until you get the swing of things also into the prophetic and begin to grow, and also making sure that it's part of the church too, and that people are accountable for those things. The last thing we want is people being like a lone wolf, prophesying things and giving words that set people astray. As an assistant pastor, I dealt a lot with stuff like that, and we call them parking lot prophets. They're not necessarily under leadership and just want to do things outside, and many times become unruly.
Right.
But when we are in the community, there's safety.
Yeah. And the, you know, as we finish, you know, let me connect a dot that they actually have said is that, and they illustrated it, is the prophetic is together where you're coming into alignment. And it's okay that you start not in alignment. Generally, you do. You're not in alignment because you don't, and Twanda said it, you only see partially. And what you're doing together is bringing the prophetic word into a heart. Let's seek God's will together. Let's get confirmation. It's okay that we're not in alignment yet. And if there's a heart like you two demonstrated, is that's okay. You have a heart to get there. You'll get there. In a group, small group particularly, as you start exercising that giftedness of prophetic, you're going to see some amazing things happen. And it's a joy. You know, just like you guys are illustrating, it's a real joy. You don't have to be perfect at it. And it's not a person that has a special gift. It's all of us can contribute. So thank you for demonstrating that so much. And it's very encouraging. And I hope that all of our audience, you know, begins to have a heart to grow in this area of prophetic. And that Twanda and Tito, by the way, if you have more interest in this or would like to learn a little bit more about it, they're available and we'll connect you with them because they've really learned this and they teach it and it's very profitable for the body and they would love to do it. So thank you guys. Heavenly Father, we just pray a prophetic word over them that you're moving them into a new season of great joy, exceptional opportunity to see you do supernatural things. And they're going to be a conduit of that. And I just pray that they will see the greater and the greater and the greater. And by the way, not settle for the mediocrity. And we thank you and praise you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, guys. What a pleasure and just a blessing to everyone. And if you have questions from today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. We look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. We'll see you guys.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.